shun the sun.
Hey everyone, it's David and Dylan here with another podcast about various gaming news. I don't really know much more than that, so let's just cross to Dylan.
Yep, I pretty much try and host these things. I make it easy, I come up with the topics, and Dave joins us and adds his expert opinions.
Exactly.
So this is our third podcast. Thanks for joining us again. If it's your first time, you're not missing much. But we'll start off. So, in very breaking news, just recently, I did have written down about Titanfall beta, about how it's been released and people are getting codes, but they have now just made it available to everyone on the Xbox.
Yep.
And apparently PC version shortly to follow. And we can confirm the download for the Xbox One is 4.8 gigabytes, as I'm currently downloading it now.
5% through, so...
That's right. Now, I did actually do a bit of Twitch watching of Titanfall to see what it looks like, and it did... It looked the way I expected, Call of Duty with mechs.
Yeah.
But I've been hearing nothing but positive things about it, so definitely want to jump into it. I mean, I will be a PC player with it once it's released properly, because I just obviously prefer my mouse and keyboard over a controller. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this is readily available now, and I do know some people who already can play it, I thought, why not jump on board?
I mean, it's kind of hard not to be interested, given that there's been so much positivity about it for, you know, I don't know, like over a year now.
Yeah,
no, I've yet to find
a preview on any, you know, legitimate gaming site that has said it's bad. I mean, it could be EA's purses for these things, but who knows?
Yeah, and even the occasional, like, the only thing I've heard some people say was that they thought 12 players per match wasn't enough, but that was music to my ears in many ways.
Me too. The one thing I don't like is that there is AI, and apparently they're easier to kill. Like, they take less bullets and stuff like that.
And they fill in for other players and that sort of thing.
I just don't think that's necessary. I mean, a 6v6, the fact that you can all be in mechs at the same time if you need to, I think that's just not a bad idea. I have seen an article about this is how you snipe in Titanfall. I haven't looked at it yet, but I would like to know if it is at all possible.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it does look like a very fast-paced run-and-gun game, which the new Call of Duties have taken. But
yeah, and I mean, in theory, the Call of Duties also have sniper rifles, but it's just they never were actually viable. So.
Besides Modern Warfare 4.
Yeah, yeah.
Not 4, sorry. Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Then Days on Overgrown. I loved it. My favourite map.
Crash, yeah.
Yeah, just an Overgrown Claymore in the house, sitting out there with your sniper rifle. But as we press on, the next thing I've got on the list is The Last of Us expansion was released this week. Now, some of you might know, I definitely wasn't impressed by The Last of Us. I mean, I don't mean to... Well, I do. I don't think it's a good game.
that's definitely not what you'll hear from most places.
Yeah, I just think it's being rallied behind for something for Sony fanboys to sort of just shove at Microsoft and say, look what we've got. I mean, I have no allegiance either way. I've owned every console by both of them, and I just get the exclusives because they're exclusive. I don't prefer one over the other. No matter what each of them cost, I was getting them. But The Last of Us, to me, the story was predictable. I understand, you know, oh, that's a cool moment, this is a cool moment, but that was outweighed by dodgy AI, a predictable story, and just the point where the game decided, as you got further, let's not actually make this smarter, harder, let's just throw more clickers and other
things
at you.
Instant kill enemies and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's just throw these at you or throw more of them at you because it is harder. And it was at that one point, as soon as I read an article from one of the developers saying that there is a point in the game where they actually say you will need to be lucky to pass it because it isn't actually a skill-based section.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I stopped and I YouTubed the last hour because I couldn't be bothered finishing it. I wanted to know what happened because I had heard such ravings about it, and it was what I picked within 10 minutes of playing the game. I'm like, I can see how this is going to end. This is my guess. It was correct. I mean, it was a logical ending. I'm not going to say it was the wrong one or anything like that. It's just I knew it was coming, so it wasn't like I got wowed by the ending. But
I mean, we've gone on a bit of a tangent considering it was meant to be about the DLC, but
yeah.
I mean, it was just about...
Just covering the fact that, you know, I watched half of the DLC on Twitch as well. I mean, again, it does go into the backstory a bit more, tell you a bit more about the characters and things like that.
Production values are super high, by the way. That's the one thing you really appreciate with Naughty Dog games.
Like, I definitely did like the opening of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the whole opening section where you see how things go down and there is that sort of, you know, father losing his daughter sort of thing. That is a minor spoiler, but it's 2 minutes into the game, so you can get over it.
Hopefully you've played it already.
I'd say most people have, especially if they own a PlayStation. I mean...
The other thing I would say, though, is I feel like there's sometimes a distinction between story and atmosphere. Like, just from what I saw in The Last of Us, it nails atmosphere. But the storyline, depending on who you speak to me, it didn't seem that revolutionary, you know. And maybe it's also because there's so many zombies, you know, things in mainstream media at the moment. Walking Dead obviously dominating. But Yeah, I just think it looks like they nail atmosphere, but...
It also was annoying to me because I hated the PS3's analog sticks. So trying to... Especially the part where you're hanging upside down and you've got a headshot at this thing coming at you. That it took me a while because I'll admit I'm not the best with the sticks. And I think I would have enjoyed it a bit more on the PS4 because the PS4 sticks are much better in my opinion. But again, I just don't think it was amazing as everyone else says. I'm not going to say it was bad. I just didn't have a good experience with it.
Still, DLC's out there.
It's
anyone who liked the original will surely like the DLC.
It's gotten great reviews and honestly...
Not very long though.
Not very long. It's gotten great reviews. Mm. Some people have said, oh, you know, $15 for an hour or so of play sort of thing.
Yeah, like 2 hours or so. You know what? I think if you really love it, then it's worth it.
If you really loved it and you want more from them characters, then yeah, I mean, it's going
to
be a no-brainer.
You compare it to a cinema ticket and it still compares quite favourably, so.
Yeah, exactly right. So I'm definitely, from all the reviews that have come out and from what I've seen, if you enjoyed the game, you'll definitely enjoy the expansion.
Yeah.
Next on the list, South Park, The Stick of Truth has finally gone gold. There is no turning back. There will be no delays. It's in production. I pre-ordered my copy on Steam.
Yeah,
it does seem like it would be perfectly fine to play on a console, but again, I'm just on my computer more.
Yeah, we've got the Xbox controller for our PC, so
and Steam had it for a good price.
Yeah, pick whatever platform you want, pretty much.
Yeah, it's all going to be the same. And watching it, it just looks brilliant. I mean, if you like the show, it looks like you're literally playing in an episode of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not actually the biggest South Park guy, that's for sure. But from what I watched, and I watched the first, I think, 13 minutes they had on IGN.
Yeah, 13-minute clip.
It looked really, really impressive. And you can tell that the show's writers have had such a high level of involvement.
Yeah, that was one of the things they wanted. They wanted to make sure they were totally involved in the game rather than the old games like Chef's Love Shack.
Mm-hmm. and it was genuinely funny as well. What I saw, it was really, really good. I guess the other thing I think is pretty cool is that the one game that it really, really reminded me of was Paper Mario, actually. It's really similar to Paper Mario.
I've definitely seen quite a few places draw that similarity already.
That is not a bad thing to take inspiration from, I'm telling you.
Paper Mario is a brilliant game.
Yeah, so that's looking really, really promising.
Definitely.
Could be the best licensed game ever, we'll see.
There was one of the titles at IGN, but IGN is known to overrate and hype up.
Yeah.
But we'll press on. Yep. Now, next was the announcement of the release date for The Evil Within of August 31st, I believe it was, and this is the game by the Resident Evil creator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it looks good.
It looks good, but... I've still got some question marks about it, one of which is that I feel like they've shown off nothing except one segment of the game at every single show that it's been shown at. Well, maybe it's just me, but it seems like it's always that intro of the game where he gets chased by that big butcher guy.
Yep.
And I think that's really all they've shown. It's like, well, what else have they got up their sleeve? You know, is it...
Do they just not want to ruin the surprise, or is the game pretty monotone?
I mean, it's going to be really interesting because Resident Evil 4 was just basically a masterpiece.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4 was that brilliant single-player experience. Resident Evil 5, if you liked co-op, was brilliant.
Yeah, it was
brilliant.
It
was more of an action game.
So was RE4. But Resident Evil 4 was the better of the two, I'd have to say. Yeah. Just, it was longer, it was more varied.
You couldn't finish it in an hour and 50 with rocket launchers?
No, you couldn't finish it in an hour and 50, although there might be a speed run out there, prove me wrong. But yeah, it's just a super impressive game. So I'm still excited to see what he can do with The Evil Within.
It's something to look forward to anyway.
I think it's going to be interesting. I just hope he can pull off another sort of...
I'm just trying to think, man. How many games came out last year that I really cared about? There's quite a few this year already that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be a big year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just in March alone, you got Dark Souls.
Thief is, I think, coming out. Or maybe Thief, February.
End of Feb is Thief. I watched the first mission, and it looked pretty good.
Oh, that's good.
But again, with Thief, you've got the whole fact that it's usually your first few missions are quite good, and then all of a sudden, you got talking trees.
Is that in Thief? Is that I haven't actually played the old Thief game.
Yeah, the old Thief, they went supernatural, and that's where I stopped playing.
I know Thief 3 did.
I don't remember which ones I played. I played a couple of them. I played the same one, but who knows? But yeah, I like them to stick to the standard, you know, go in, break in, steal this, get out quietly, things like that. I mean, that to me is just a brilliant mix, but we'll see how it goes.
The strange thing about Thief is that the developers have been really forthright in admitting that there were serious problems during development. That's not something you'll usually hear development teams talk about, but they've admitted to it. They've said that they've gotten over it, and we'll just have to wait and see how it actually turns out.
Yeah, so I mean, you got Thief coming soon. You got South Park, Dark Souls, Titanfall, Infamous, all in March.
So true, yeah.
I mean, and not long after March, you've got, we're not going to be playing it because it's on Wii U, but you got Mario Kart
Yeah.
It's eight, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, on the Wii U. I mean, you've got Mario Golf coming on the 3DS.
Yeah, 3DS has got a few games.
Quite looking forward to.
Yeah, yeah.
They still say Smash Bros. Will be out this year, too.
That's right, yeah.
But
probably end of.
Yeah, December 31st. Another thing I noticed, sort of trolling for articles, was IGN has now decided to start re-reviewing games.
Yeah.
What are your sort of thoughts on that?
Fairly pointless, probably.
I mean, there are some games that do change drastically. Like, let's say Team Fortress. When that Team Fortress 2, when that started and what it's become, there is a huge difference in it. But, I mean,
I thought you meant re-reviewing retro titles, to be honest. Okay, so I got that wrong.
the title they re-reviewed was League of Legends.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
So they re-reviewed it. I mean, obviously, some things have changed in League of Legends.
You know, you know what? I'm actually okay with it as long as it warrants it. As long as it is drastically different.
Yep.
To the point where they think their original review no longer is necessarily applicable. Then I think it makes sense. And it's probably going to make more sense with
games. What I think about them as well is the review should almost just be a comparison of why they're... What's changed from their first review and why they're coming back to it, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than just, you know...
Presenting it as a new...
Rather than just, the world loves League of Legends now. We better just put out a nice review for it sort of thing, because we only gave it a 7 back then or something like that.
Yeah, it's true. You sometimes wonder, it's like, oh, it's so big now, but we can get, you know...
Get some free hits.
Yeah, get some new hits from it, so that's true. Yeah,
exactly. All right, well, that was a quick one. Next little article I thought was interesting was the Hitman franchise looks to be going mobile with Hitman Go.
Yeah, I haven't heard about this, but...
I just try to think what they will do. I mean, it can't be like a side scroller.
I assume it's not going to be a third person style. Like,
yeah, you wouldn't think so.
It just wouldn't translate to touch controls very well.
Unless it's just basically a sniper touch kill game. Who knows?
You just select from options. It's like, you know, use the Garrot on him. Just text based.
Yeah, pretty much. Do you A, Garrot? Do you B? Oh, well. Either way.
Interesting. Not a franchise I would have picked anyway.
No, definitely not. What about World of Tanks? Do you think World of Tanks could... I'm just skipping forward here, but do you think World of Tanks could go almost tablet/mobile?
Maybe, because it's not very quick.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of a...
It's much more about just positioning. I mean, the purists will say 100% no, yeah. And probably fair enough. But I think it's something that could translate a lot better than other franchises, that's for sure.
Definitely. Well, I skipped a bit there, we will mention that World of Tanks is now on the 360. Apparently, quite a few people definitely jumped onto it.
Yeah, I heard the beta was actually really, really popular.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because we think it's a good game.
Yeah, I mean, we picked it up at PAX. We'd never touched it before. And basically, we were like, why are there all these people walking around with all this swag from World of Tanks? So we're like, oh, we'll go do that as well.
It sucked us in.
We played it. I died in about 3 seconds. Had no idea what I was doing, but I got all the loot. And I thought, oh, well, I might just download it when I get home. And we did play it for a little while, and it was fun.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. And there's, like, definitely a lot of sort of tiers of skill level.
Oh, definitely.
There's people who, you know, you can take it as just sort of a kind of, you know, game where you go around and blast people. And that's pretty much what we do. But there's many, many levels above that if you want to get
it. It's almost like a sniping map.
Yeah, can be, yeah. And knowing the strengths and weaknesses of your tanks. And,
exactly.
And the tanks you're against, which we don't at all.
Even, but, I mean, sort of buffing your suits.
Yeah.
Certain areas of your tank as well, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all knowing what works well. Like, oh, that tank doesn't like explosive ammunition on the right, things like that.
That's exactly right, yeah. Stuff like that.
It's definitely a game. The fact that it's free,
exactly.
If you even considered trying it before, I'd recommend it. It's quite fun.
Yeah. And it's so different to everything else out there for
exactly. On to my next point. I was walking past in a shop and I just saw Battlefield Premium on the shelf.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, all right, Battlefield Premium, I've got to look up what that is again. And it is all of your expansion packs with, you know, like a week, like 1 week you'll get a different skin for a gun, another week you'll get a gold pack, which could be any sort of unlock for something.
Mm-hmm.
And every few months you get the expansion a couple of weeks before everyone else. Well, the way I feel about it is that money, you have to pretty much be prepared to be playing this game for a whole year pretty often to get your money's worth out of that.
Yeah, I think... It's funny, I almost see it as being similar to a gym membership,
yep.
Where they really want you to be on board from day one.
Yep.
They really hope you're going to buy it while you're still motivated, still playing it, because they know that a lot of people are going to drop off.
I mean, and with all the bad press they've had, their server issues and things like that, any extra buck they're going to make, they're going to be rubbing their fingers together.
And this is why you see a lot of companies going for season passes and things like that now, I think.
Yep.
It's because they really want that. I mean, it totally makes sense for any company to want more money, but I think it's just... to try and combat the fact that a lot of people stop playing and a lot of people trade games in, not so much for PC, but if it's a console version, then they're probably hoping that anyone who buys that season pass will he's gonna hold on to the game. And that's one less copy out there for, yeah, for trade-in.
Definitely. Definitely. What are your thoughts on a season pass? I haven't got that written down, but just thinking about it.
I've never bought one, so yeah, I guess that's...
I've never bought one because I haven't been that interested in the game where I think I'm going to need every single piece of DLC for this game.
Yeah, and the other thing it also doesn't let you do is actually ascertain whether the DLC is any good.
Yeah, because, exactly right. I mean,
I guess it's different if you wait until they're out, but that kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you don't really know what DLC is going to be like until it's out, so sometimes it's not worth it, sometimes it is.
It could be horse armor.
It could be horse armor, exactly. So,
now, old Oblivion joke there. Next on the list, we have Destiny has shown off how you'll be getting around its maps with their new mounts, which honestly look a lot like the Star Wars little speeder bikes from Return of the Jedi.
That's fine with me.
That's exactly right. Anything with a mount.
Anything with speeder bikes.
That's right.
They're a pretty cool vehicle. Yeah, we're both looking forward to Destiny. Yeah, should be pretty awesome.
We both enjoyed the Halo multiplayer. Yeah. I mean, I am hoping by the time that's out, we've got these Microsoft data centers opening up in Sydney and Melbourne. Hopefully they're up and running. Because, I mean, the lag was never anything too bad in the Halos.
They handled it a lot better than I expected.
They did. Compared to a lot of other games, FIFA, being from Australia, it's almost unplayable. But, yeah, they know how to make console shooter, that team. So that's Bungie, why I'm definitely interested to play that game. And any sort of shooter with almost RPG elements to it is definitely going to have me suck it in. So
it's pretty much like 99% of cases, if it's an FPS game, I'm really hoping that they'll bring it out for PC as well. But with anything by Bungie, I'm really not bothered.
Yeah, it's to the point where I honestly don't care that much that it's not coming for PC. Yeah. I mean, Titanfall, I want that on PC because I've played a Call of Duty on a controller before, and
they're just super fast paced, and it's super fast paced.
I'm not gonna lie, I was no good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, you get used to it, you get used to the controller, that is fine. I have no problems with anyone playing it on the controller. Exactly. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
I've been brought up playing shooters on the PC, so that's just what I'm really comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Next onto the list was the week of Flappy Bird. Now, it got taken down.
Yep.
The owner said he couldn't put up with it anymore, getting all the death threats from people and things like that.
Yeah, that's crazy that happened.
And straight away, he had thousands of clones up. I mean, you pointed out one to me, which is just hilarious. The Flappy Bird Fallout Boy. Where he just plays one of their faces each time or something
I don't even know. It might have been.
That's just the biggest sort of cash in. I mean, like, you know.
But it's all over the place. There's so many clones. And there's a really weird, I don't know if you've read about it, but there's a market for game cloning out there where basically people just, you know, put out an ad saying anyone who can make clone simple games, you know, I'll pay you like $500 to do it. Or sometimes it's like $200. I just can't believe that anyone would do it for that money. But, you know, these are probably people, you know, in India or something. And, and they're probably just able to code it in a really short time. And
yeah, it's the same sort of thing. I know, but back in the day, you could hear, like, if you came up with an app idea, you could, there was people in India who would make it for you for $200, no matter what it was.
There you go. Yeah. And I guess, you know, the money conversion for them is probably pretty decent, so maybe that's another incentive.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're making good money, so
it kind of sucks, though.
Oh, definitely for them, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're making that, they should definitely be retaining profit.
Yeah, exactly. But
That's the way the industry is. I mean, it is all offshore now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, walking on to Evolve. What are your thoughts? They have released quite a bit of information over the week. I mean, it's been made by the team who were behind the first Left 4 Dead.
Yep. My thoughts are that I hope it's really good, obviously.
Yep.
But it sounds unusual. I can get what they're trying to do. For those who don't know, basically the idea is instead of a team of 4v4... which is what it was like when you played versus Left 4 Dead. The way Evolve works is it's always four survivors against one big alien monster.
Yeah,
so it's a team of four against one solo player.
And he can continually grow as the game goes. He starts off in a smallish form and he can slink around in the back and try and feed to get bigger. Or he can try and... He's obviously a lot more stealthy when you start off, so you can try and pick off earlier. Who knows? I haven't seen that much of it, but no, I mean, it's an interesting idea.
It is, yeah.
And I trust the team behind Left 4 Dead 1.
Totally. I mean, what they said is that basically this game will cater towards people who love co-op, and it will also cater towards people who like playing... You know, there's always a soloist in most teams. There's that guy who likes to just do everything himself. So their idea with this game is that, you know, you choose that team if you want to be the soloist, or you choose the survivors if you want co-op. So I get that. I just don't think I'd ever really choose to be the alien. I think I'd prefer to play with friends.
Yeah, that's right. I'd try it. I mean, if it was really fun, I'd play it. But again, I'd still prefer to be on the playing with my friends, taking something down. That was a thing with Left 4 Dead.
Exactly. On both teams, even exactly. in the zombies, I loved the teamwork aspect. Because on zombies,
I'd be like, all right, Dave, you're a smoker this time. I'm going to be a hunter. You try and grab this one while I get this one, sort of thing.
It was actually a lot better than I expected versus mode in Left 4 Dead. Yeah, I thought it was tacked on, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, it was definitely. I mean, versus is still played to this day.
Yeah.
They definitely enjoy it. It's a lot more played in the campaigns. As much as I enjoy the campaigns, the market is still in versus, not in single player.
That's right. Well, just gave it that last ability.
Yeah, exactly. All right, walking on to our last dot point that I've got here is that Dark Souls 2 has been announced that it's rated as T for teen, not M for mature, like the last two Souls games were. Now, from what we can see, what we've been told, that apparently nothing has actually been shortened or dumbed down. There's still the same graphics, there's still the same, like, you know, you hit someone, blood comes out if appropriate, sort of thing. I mean, there was never really that much blood in the game besides bloodstains, to be honest, if you try to think about it.
That's actually very true. I mean, I get that some of the enemy designs could potentially be disturbing, but I still wouldn't think that would necessarily put it to an M rating.
Yeah.
Oh, it probably could, actually. And that's why I'm really surprised that it's managed to just get a teen.
Yeah, I mean,
I couldn't see how it would be less.
Obviously, the team's tried to have a bit of damage control, saying, oh, you know, nothing's changed, nothing's different, but when it actually comes out, will be the truth. And one piece of news that was definitely disappointing for me was hearing that they are hoping that the PC version is out weeks, not months later. The fact that they have no solid date yet to me is very disappointing, because I pre-ordered for PC, and being such a huge fan of this game, I know I'm going to have to get it on a console, because I won't be able to wait three weeks to a month playing the game. I want to be on the game when it's at its most popular, so I can join the co-op in. I can discover the game join as other people. Exactly. Like, oh, can you believe how hard this boss is, sort of thing. Oh, I'm just getting up to this one now, and all that sort of gear. Not, this is how you beat it. This is how you do it. That's how it is. This is how you get past this part. I mean, I got into Dark Souls probably about a year after it was out. So if I've tried to look up anything, like, oh, I'm sort of stuck at this part.
Everyone had already completely figured it out.
Exactly. It was sort of like, not the, oh, I think this way is the better way. It was, this way is the better way. You need this weapon, and this is how you kill it.
And if it's anything like Dark Souls 1, they pretty much designed it so that you would have to go on, well, I shouldn't say have to, but I think that they really did design it that way.
Yeah.
Hoping that people would be discussing it all online, trying to figure out the covenants, what they actually were, because the game certainly doesn't tell you.
From what I hear, they use the word approachable for the game for newcomers, and from what I hear, they're actually doing it in a smart way, because when you start the game, there are basically two ways you can go. Right, which is through a tutorial cave dungeon thing, or left, which goes straight into the game.
Oh, that's cool.
So right will teach you how the game is. You're going to fight some hard enemies. You're going to have to pick up your shield. You're going to have to learn how to do it. Or if you're a hardcore speedrunner, which there are so many speedrunners of Dark Souls right now, you go straight to your left and you progress straight into the game, which is smart.
That's really funny, because I didn't know that. And when I first heard about the tutorial section, the first thing I thought of was the speedrunners. I'm like, oh, they're going to hate that.
Yep.
But that's actually really cool, because you just know they're going to dive for that left
tunnel. Exactly. It's almost like they've made it knowing, okay, people aren't going to want to do this. Especially if they're going, because so many people start the game again. It's like, okay, I went full warrior this time. Next time I'm going to go all magic.
But it's also, you already know how the game works now. So
yeah, exactly right. It's like, I know how the game works. I don't want to ever do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely do like that there is an item in the game which already makes the enemy stronger and you take more damage.
Yeah.
They're making it for the speedrunners, pretty much.
Yeah, it's definitely looking forward to that game. I just hope the PC version comes out fairly close. The reason we went for the PC version was just because that was the best looking version.
After it was modded.
After it was modded, I'm including the mod, because basically that was mandatory download.
Yeah.
Super solid once it had that patch.
Definitely.
Hopefully it can live up to the first one. I think it will.
It's looking quite good.
It's looking good.
From what they first started showing off, I was a bit weary, because it all looks so dark and dreary.
They all look quite similar as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope they were just showing off one sort of section. But now as more comes out, it is looking a lot more brighter and varied. So like Dark Souls areas of the, you know, you got your forest area, you got your cave area, you've got your castle, things like that.
Yeah, and it might sound weird to be wanting brightness in a Dark Souls game, but like, everyone talks about that moment where you hit Anor Londo.
Exactly. It's one of the best looking things. Like, even though the graphics aren't that great in the game, it just looks
brilliant. Area design is super impressive in the Dark Souls games.
So I really hope they do keep up with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So breaking off, we finished my little dot points. So
I actually had one other thing that I'd mention.
Yep.
Which is quite a while ago, you know, several times in the last year, we've always talked about kind of sort of wanting to buy a Vita.
Yep.
And I feel like it's been a year since we first started tentatively discussing it. And I don't think anything else has really come out that
it definitely that hasn't. We want. I was on the edge so many times just because of how good I heard Persona 4 Golden.
Yeah,
it was the only game I really cared about. And I kept thinking, you know, more games are going to come out.
I just don't get it.
No, there's nothing. So I mean, Sony, the arcade games are meant to be basically the best things on there. Like, you know, your quick download sort of things.
And it's really, it's also concerning because, you know, they're trying to push it all, you know, E3 and all that, the connectivity with the PS4, but...
Yep. They like, got the new model just released, just announced for release in Europe and everywhere.
Is it drastically cheaper or anything?
I think it's a little bit cheaper because it uses a LCD screen instead of an OLED screen. It's thinner.
Yeah, yeah. But the screen's noticeably not quite as good, really, is it? Yeah.
So a lot of people are sort of saying, well, you know, you pay $50 more and you get the better screen.
Yeah, yeah.
But again... What actual hard games, like, you know, released games have come out that are good? I mean, they had that Killzone Mercenaries, which was meant to be pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
But besides that, what was there?
So, I mean, we're talking about two games here. There is that one from LittleBigPlanet guys.
Yep.
But again, you're really struggling to think of top-tier software on the Vita. And I just find that baffling. That's because, true. You know, if it had stronger software, they could probably count on the fact that a lot of people would have it and then try and develop these... link up features with their games, but as it is, if you're a developer, you're not going to spend a lot of time on that because
exactly. I mean, you can 2%
of your audience might.
You can say now one of your sales points is that you can play your PS4 games on it, but the thing is, they don't play as well.
Exactly,
and you've got to use dodgy controls. And, why would I mean?
You do need to be like within the radius.
Yeah, it's Wi-Fi range. Yeah.
So why wouldn't you just? If someone's using the TV, but look, this is pretty situational, kind of like the Wii U controller. Yeah. I don't think many people are probably playing on the on the controller more often than on the TV.
Yeah, exactly. But, again, we could be wrong.
Yeah, I want them to prove me wrong.
But, I mean, right now, if someone gave you a Vita for nothing, what games do you pick up?
Persona 4, definitely.
Yep.
And maybe Killzone. I mean,
you know there's a sort of struggle. I mean, I
follow... Hotline Miami, maybe, even though I already own it on Steam.
Yeah, I mean, I follow... everything PlayStation, Xbox. Yeah. I listen to all the podcasts of PlayStation, Xbox and everything. And again, I'd be the same way. It's what would I pick up? What would I need?
I feel like it's a system where I can't remember. Did they get Final Fantasy? No, I think that was PSP, not Vita.
Yeah, they didn't. There's no Final Fantasy out for it.
So it's real, real struggle.
Yeah. Speaking of Final Fantasy though, to go off on another quick little tangent. What was it? 13-2?
13-3? I think it's... or maybe it is 2 because that is the third 13. It's very confusing.
Something like that. But yeah, apparently the story in it is absolute garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
What I've heard, everyone basically says you are just going to mash through it, play through the game, that's it.
Yeah. That's typical of Square lately, though. Yeah. I can't really think of the last great RPG, though. I feel like they've been doing some dodgy stuff.
Did they make Bravely Default?
Oh, sort of. That was sort of Square published, but that was a different development team.
Yep.
But yeah, you're right. I guess I should give them credit for that, for whoever approved that project. It's a game.
That's right.
But Square's, you know, core development team who work on the Final Fantasies have just been kind of off their game, I think, for quite a long time now.
Yeah, I mean, I quite enjoyed 10 when it first came out on the PlayStation. Yeah, 10 was
really good.
It was quite fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was one of the best looking games on the PlayStation. And they're
re-releasing it as well.
Yeah, that's right, they are. Which,
so there's some acknowledgement there that it's probably the best thing they've made in a long time.
That's right. All right, we'll go to our usual sort of section. What have you been playing lately?
You just mentioned Bravely Default. I've definitely been playing that. It's a really, really solid game. There's a lot to do in it. And the combat system is really, really cool. Storyline-wise, it's not the strongest out there. Yep.
That's pretty much almost a standard now.
Yeah, it is. But it's kind of... It doesn't take itself too seriously, so it gets away with it. Yep. And I actually prefer it that way, rather than if it was always playing it too straight-laced. Combat system though, super impressive. The class system, the way you constantly unlock new classes is really cool as well. It takes advantage of online features, so it's kind of a bit retro in how it feels, but it's also got these really modern features thrown in. It works really well.
Definitely. What I've been playing, pretty much nothing new really.
Yeah.
Dota as usual. A bit of Rust, getting into my Rust.
Mm-hmm.
And picked up NBA 2K14 again on my Xbox.
Yeah.
The Xbox One, I should say, the next gen version.
They suck you in, those NBA games. In fact, it's worth mentioning that we're watching today the...
the dunk contest?
Yeah, the All-Star Weekend. And there's really cool integration with the game. The fact
that seconds after the dunk is done, they're showing it in-game, saying, okay, well, you're going to be able to unlock this dunk now.
Super smart marketing.
I mean, they're just doing gangbusters for that game. It just does so well. I mean, I hate the game of basketball, but I like playing the game.
Yeah, the game is brilliant. In fact, the game has made me appreciate basketball a lot more, though.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't really understand it. Like, you know there's players, you know they have to score, but there's actually a lot of tactics, and the game does a really good job of easing you into that.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have to give them credit for that. And yeah, I'm already looking forward to the next one.
Have you played 2K14?
Your house?
Yeah, I suppose that counts. All right, we might leave it there. We're trying to keep them around half an hour every time, so we'll see you next week.
Yep, cool, done.